Good to see you all out today in this treacherous weather. I know my family, we had a pretty hard time getting here this morning, trudging through. I actually put a cap on to keep the snow off of my head as we walked the 200 feet from the door to the door. So, but no, I am glad to see you all out this morning, that you did come and through this beautiful March weather. And today we'll be continuing with the stories that Jesus told, and earthly stories with heavenly meanings. And if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Luke, the 15th chapter. And then shortly I will begin reading at verse 11 and go through from there. So if you have your Bibles, Luke chapter 15, and we will look at verse 11. I read a story this week about a young man who was in high school, and he was a junior in high school, a pretty good size, healthy young man, about 260 pounds, and had won the state wrestling tournament for his weight class, which would have been the heavyweight class. And in the process of winning at his school and then winning in his district and then going on and winning at state, he kind of got a little proud of himself, a little arrogant, you know, you'd say. And the father started noticing this, because every time the father had asked him to do something, he didn't want to do it, or he just wouldn't do it. And when the father would call on him, he'd respond with a really harsh "What?" And if you're a parent in here, you may have heard that "what" before. And the father grew tired of this. And one day he said, "Son, come on up to your room." And they get up to his room, and the father says, "I didn't realize it, son, but you're an adult now, and you're grown, and you no longer need me and your mom, and so we're going to let you go. I'm going to help you pack your bag, and you're free to go, son." So they lay the suitcase on the bag, and they begin to pack. But after about an hour and a half, the son had just really grown angry, because every time he would put something in the bag, the dad would say, no, "I bought that. My time at the factory paid for that. No, that's mine, son. I remember the day I purchased it." Finally, after about 2 hours, the son had just one or two items of clothing that he had bought himself, and he had it in his bag, and he marched down the steps and out the front door. And it happened to be a day similar to the day. It was cold and snowy. Knowing that somebody would be there to help him, and nobody came. And finally, after about 30 minutes of sitting out in the snow and the cold, he rang the doorbell. And of course, the father was just sitting right there at the door waiting to hear the bell. And he opened the door, and the son said, "I'm sorry." If you have your Bibles today, Luke 15, beginning at verse 11. Luke 15, verse 11. "And Jesus said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of my estate I have coming to me.' So he distributed the assets to him. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all he had, and he traveled to a distant country, where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. I will get up. I will go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran to him. He threw his arms around his neck. He kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, Quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it. And let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Now the older son was in the field and he came near the house. He heard the music and the dancing. So he summoned one of the servants, questioning what these things meant. Your brother is here, he told him, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Then the brother became angry and he didn't want to go in. So his father came out to him, pleading with him. But he replied to his father, Look, I have been slaving many years for you and I have never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me a goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours came who had devoured your assets with prostitutes, you slaughtered the fattened calf for him. Son, he said to him, you are always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to break this bread, God, and I pray that you open our hearts and our minds to receive the message, Lord. I pray today, God, that we will leave changed and we will leave with a new attitude for you, Father. And I pray all of this in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So Jesus tells this parable. Well, to start off chapter 15, it says Jesus, he's doing what he does best. He's gathering people. But he's gathering people like tax collectors and sinners and homeless people and people that nobody else wanted to be around. And the religious leaders of the church, the Pharisees, says, Look, there he is again, having a meal and talking with all these nasty sinners. And Jesus hears it and he tells three parables. He tells one about a lost sheep. And he tells one about a lost coin. And then he tells the one I just read to you that's called the lost son, symbolizing how everybody is always welcome into the arms of a loving father. Today, I want to look at the parable of the lost son. I want to look at three parts of this today. The young son, he was ready to leave the father. He was ready to get what was his. According to custom, the oldest son would get double of what any other son or son would get. It just mentions two. So this young man was going to get one-third of his father's estate. And he was ready to get it. He wasn't satisfied at home. He wasn't happy with what was going on at home. He was ready to be his own man. So the father, he gives him his portion. And it says he goes to a distant country. And there he spends it on, as later it says in verse 30, on prostitutes and wild living. And all of his money is quickly gone. And a severe famine hits the land. And he finds himself feeding pigs. Jesus is telling this story to a group of Jewish leaders. When he said the word pigs, that was the greatest insult in the world. And here this young, rich ruler he would have been is feeding a bunch of pigs. This young man was trying to find himself. That's a modern day term, trying to find himself. We have people today who are in this world and they're trying to find themselves. They're trying to find themselves because there's something in here that they don't have. They have a hole in here. They have a void in their life and they're trying to find themselves. We have young boys that no longer want to be young boys. We have young girls that no longer want to be young girls in the name of they're trying to find themselves. We have people that are leaving marriages of 20 and 30 years because they're trying to find themselves. We have people that are turning to drugs and alcohol and addictions because they're trying to find themselves. They're trying to fill a void that cannot be filled with anything of the world. They're trying to fill a void just like this lost son was trying to fill that day. He wasn't happy, but he wasn't looking in the right places. His desire to leave, he was trying to find himself. And you know the saying, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence until you get to the other side of the fence, and it's just the same. So the desire to leave started in his heart. He was ready to go. The desire to leave starts in our hearts because we cannot appreciate what we have because our hearts are dissatisfied. A heart that is not filled with Jesus Christ will never be satisfied. His heart was not satisfied because he did not know Jesus. His desire was more than a loving home. His desire was more than a father that cared for him. His desire was for things that he only thought he wanted. One third of the inheritance wasn't enough for him. He wanted more. A covetous person can never be satisfied. No matter how much it acquires, the dissatisfied heart leads to a disappointing life. Money, gold, fame, land, wealth, nothing can fill the void. Nothing can satisfy the heart of man. Nothing can do what Jesus Christ can. The lifestyle he wanted proved not to fill that void. It quickly was gone. It don't give a time of how quick he blew his money, but he went through it pretty quick. I can think of a few people I know, a few of them I'm kin to. They can go through money quicker than water goes through a colander. I mean, they can blow through it. My wife just looked at me and smiled. I reckon she may be thinking about me. I don't know. But he went through his money. While he had money, he had all of his friends. When he had money, he had all of his good times. When he had his money, he was getting everything he wanted. He was celebrating. He was partying. He was living it up. But as soon as the money was gone, everything else was gone too. And he found himself in a dirty pig pen, feeding pigs. Sin can never fill in the loneliness. Sin can never fix the greed. Sin never contains the anger. Sin never will conquer the unhappiness. It only brings about more pain. It only brings about more dissatisfaction. It only brings about more addiction. Sin can never do anything good for the person. Sin looks pretty on the outside. Sin smells real good for a little while, but in a little while, the pretty and the smell of sin wears off, and all sin is death waiting to devour whoever it can. Thomas Huxley said, a man's worst difficulties begin when he is able to do just as he likes. A man's difficulties begin when he is able to do just as he likes. That's when trouble starts, is when we do just what we want to do. I've been there before. I've been given that slack. You give somebody enough slack, they'll hang yourself. I've been given the slack to do just what I wanted to do, being told by a little 5'6", 150-pound mama, son, don't do that, don't do that. But she let me do it. I learned the hard way not to do that. Sin is just like that. It's going to just give you just enough that it's going to eventually capture you. And when it captures you, it has you. The son could not see the trouble of valuing things more than people. Pleasure more than duty, and a distant scene more than the blessing he had at home. He couldn't see the importance of a loving father. He couldn't see the importance curtains of a good home. He couldn't see that what he had right here was so much better than what was over here. Because what he was looking through the eyes of the world and not through the eyes of the Spirit. There's a difference between the eyes of the world and the eyes of the Spirit. The eyes of the world shows you the millionaires and the big houses and all of this, and it says, you want that, you need that, you deserve that. The spiritual eyes say, man, take this money and go bless somebody and give to somebody. That's the difference between a worldly view and a spiritual view. When we take what we have and we give it to God, it changes everything. Sin will tell you it can fix you. Sin will tell you it can find you. And sin will tell you it will fill you. Sin promises freedom, but it only brings you slavery. Sin promises you success, but it's only going to bring you failure. Sin promises life, but it only brings death. The wages of sin is death. He thought he would find himself, but instead he lost himself to the lowest, worst possible place he could be, slopping a bunch of pigs. My brother had some show pigs when I was growing up. We'd have a 5-gallon bucket outside, and everything from a few days would go in that bucket. And then mom and daddy was pretty smart. The pigs were about 300 yards from the house. If that was 300 yards, you had to carry that slop bucket, make sure it was downwind, to go slop that pig, to go feed that hog. And here's this young Jewish boy. I don't know how wealthy his daddy was, but just reading the scripture, he had servants, he had a fattened calf, and he had a lot of land and everything, so he would have inherited a good bit, but he wasn't happy. Now he finds himself in a pit, slopping some hogs. How disgraceful of a life for this young Jewish boy. Sin will take you from a mountaintop high to the lowest, darkest, deepest valley so quick you'll never see it happen. Because that's what Satan wants. Satan wanted to take the young man out of the promise, and he wanted to bring him down to nothing because he wanted to conquer him. Sin will only destroy, but praise God, there's something called repentance. Praise God, there's something called repentance that changes everything. Verse 17 says, when he came to his senses, there is an insanity in sin that seems to paralyze the image of God. How many times have you ever been talking to somebody? Well, when I get my life right, I'm going to go to church. When I get my life straight, I'm going to start worshiping God. That's about as smart as saying, when I get over this flu, I'm going to go to the doctor. I mean, that's the same thing. There's an insanity in sin that blinds you from God. The insanity of sin doesn't want us to believe a loving, caring God exists. It definitely doesn't want us to believe that in our most filthy, nasty, deplorable position we can be in, that there's a loving Father waiting to run to us with open arms, to throw his arms around us, to give us a robe and a ring and say, welcome home, my son. But the son realized, it says he came to his senses, and he realized that the life of freedom was not free. He realized that the life as a servant of his father, that the lowest servant that his father had was higher than he was right now. And he realized this life that I wanted into finding myself, this life of finding myself had found him in a deep, dark pit of nasty, dirty, filthy, sickening position. But the son realized, my father's servants have it better than me. And he came to his senses and he repented. You see, the young man changed his mind about himself and his situation. And he admitted that he was a sinner. Verse 17, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food? And here I am dying of hunger. I will get up. I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. He realized that he was in sin and he realized he needed a Savior. The pain of sin had led him to a place where he could see his father in a new light. The pain of sin had led him to realize what he left was really what he always wanted, but he didn't see it because he was looking through the wrong eyes. Now, I want you to think about this. You know, this young Jewish boy, he's feeding pigs. I know I've said that several times, but a pig was like, I mean, nasty in the Jewish. You didn't even begin to talk about pigs, much less even touch one. And here he is. He's slopping pigs. He's so hungry. He's like, man, I wish I could even eat the feed to feed the pigs are eating. That's the position that sin will take you to. It will take you to that point. And he thinks, man, the lowest servant is better than me. And at that point, he had two choices. At that point, he had two choices. He could feel sorry for himself. He could sit there and keep feeding pigs. He could just get deeper in depression. He could sit there all day feeling sorry for himself. Or he could get up and he could go to the Father. Our resolutions may be noble, but unless we act on them, they can never of themselves bring about any permanent good. You can make the talk. You can make profound statements. You can write them down on pieces of paper. But if all you do is say them and write them and never get out and do them, they're useless. However, when our resolutions is backed with action, we see a change. When our resolutions are backed with actions, we go about life a little bit different. When we say, I will rise and leave this sin, when we say, I will go to God, when we say, Lord, forgive me, those resolutions have actions, and those actions bring about life. Life more abundantly. When we come to our senses and say, I will turn to God, true repentance takes place and trust in Jesus Christ fills your heart and you will be saved. The heart was what the boy was trying to fill. He had a void. He was trying to fill it. And when he realized in that dark place, I've got to fill this and the world's not doing it, and he realizes and he comes to his senses and he turns to God, his life starts to change. Next part of this is just beautiful, man. Not that I wrote it, the Bible part. Rejoicing for God. Verses 20 through 24 tell a story that is so beautiful. When I was reading it, I could just picture this in my mind. But I can just imagine here. I'm going to reread verses 20 through 24 for you right quick. I'm going to start at 19. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers. So he got up and he went to his father. But while the son was still a long way away, his father saw him and he was filled with compassion. He ran to him. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father told his servants, quick, bring out the best robe, put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, put sandals on his feet. Then bring the fattened calf and slaughter it, and let's celebrate with a feast. Because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they begin to celebrate. I can just imagine this father. Every day, maybe he had a big tire at his house. Maybe he had a high heel. But I just can imagine in my mind, every day this father would go to that place and he would scan the horizon, just looking and waiting for this son to come walking up one day. And this day he looks and there he is. And he sees the boy coming to him. And the father comes down and it says he runs to the son. Men, when you become a man in the Jewish custom, maybe I'm Jewish and don't know it. When you become a man in the Jewish, you don't run. You don't run no more. You walk where you go. You don't run. And it says the father ran. He ran to his son. Now, y'all, I'm going to read this just like it's wrote here. This boy's in a pig pen. I worked at a hog farm when I was in high school. My car even smelled like hogs. Okay? It did. My clothes smelled bad. My shoes, they were bad. It doesn't say that this young man got up and went to the truck stop and got a shower. It says this young man, he got up and he went home. And he was covered in pig. He was covered in nasty feed. He was covered in all the slop and all the stuff of a pig pen. And it says the father ran up to him. And the father hugged him. And he put his arms around him. And he said, son, I love you. Son, I'm glad you come home. Son, go get the best robe. Well, who would have owned the best robe? The father would have owned the best robe. He said, son, take the ring and put it on his finger. Take some sandals and put it on his feet. He was not clean, because when you're full of sin, Jesus don't wash you and then accept you. Jesus accepts you and then he washes you, because sin has made you dirty, but Jesus will make you clean. The son had come home and the father was rejoicing because his son was come home. But he ran to him. He ran, and I can imagine this. I can see me running if for one of my children. Not far distance, but I could run for him. I want to read a passage to you out of Deuteronomy right quick. You don't have to look it up. You can look it up later, but it's Deuteronomy 21, verse 18 through 21. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father or mother and doesn't listen to them even after they disciplined him, his father and mother are to take hold of him and bring him to the elders of the city of the gate of his hometown. They will say to the elders of the city, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He does not obey us. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Then all of the men of the city will stone him to death. Praise God for the new covenant. The father ran to him because the father knew this boy had been rebellious. This father knew that if anybody around him, any neighbor saw this filthy, nasty, rebellious son walking up the road, they was finna start grabbing stones and they was finna start chunking stones at this boy. But what does the father do? He says, if they're gonna throw stones at my son, they're gonna have to hit me first. And he wraps his arms around him in love and protection so that he won't receive the stones. Jesus puts that in there for a real good reason. He's talking to a bunch of Pharisees. They knew what Deuteronomy said. They knew this boy should have been stoned to death. But Jesus is saying the love of God is way stronger. The love of God is way deeper. They could have stoned him. But the Father said, not today. Not today. My son has come home. The Father runs up to him. He embraces him. Loving him. Protecting him. He deserved death, but he got grace. He deserved death that day, but he got grace. I deserve death, but I got grace. You deserve death, but you got grace when you put your trust in Jesus Christ. How beautiful of a picture is this of this father running down and embracing his son and clothing his son and... It's a picture that was foretelling the future. It's a picture of a man who would say, I'll go and I'll take every stone of sin in this world. He said, I'll be wounded for your transgressions. I'll be bruised for your iniquities. I will die so you don't have to. God's grace stood in the place of my sins and said, I'll take the stones. The same grace is ready to stand in your place as well. Jesus didn't die for just one or two. Jesus died for everybody. And if you go on, and I've already read it here, but if you go on and you read a little bit more into this parable, you'll see that somebody wasn't quite as happy as that father. That older brother, he wasn't real excited that Junior had done come back home. Because he knew, he's the one that says he done spent his money on wild living. I don't want nothing to do with him. He was not rejoicing. He was not happy. He may not have been happy because he thought, oh, he done got one third. He ain't getting no more. He probably wasn't happy because this boy had disgraced his family's name, and now he had to go, every time he goes to the supermarket, somebody going to be saying, did you hear about so-and-so's brother? He was mad. Jesus died for everybody. He died for the drug addict. He died for the abuser. He died for the robber, and he even died for the murderer. And I know it's kind of hard today for us to talk about forgiveness of a murderer. But the rejoicing that this father did is the same rejoicing that's going to take place in heaven when every time somebody says, God, I'm a sinner, I need you. And if we're going to be Christians, when that sinner comes to know Jesus, we can't be like this son, this older brother. We got to be like the father and say, Lord God, I'm thankful that he has come home. No matter what we've done on earth, don't compare to eternity in hell. We have to rejoice and be thankful because my sins, no, I never murdered nobody. No, I was never addicted to drugs. No, I was never an abuser. No, I never robbed. But my sins were just as dirty, ugly, and as horrible as anybody else's. Your sins are just as bad as anybody else's. And the same father that run to this pig-covered boy is the same father that will run to you today and say, son, welcome home. Son, I love you. Son, I thank you for being back. As the praise team makes your way back up here today, everything the son had hoped to find in a distant land, he ended up finding right at home. Clothing, friends, celebration, love, and assurance for the future he found. What made the difference this time? Instead of saying, Father, give me, he said, Father, make me. When we say give, when we say, Father, give me what I deserve, the only thing he can give you is death. Because the only thing we deserve is death because of the separation that sin puts in our life. But when we say, make me yours, God, mold me into your image, God, use me for your power, God, he embraces us. He forgives us. In the foreign country, the lost son learned the meaning of misery. But back at home, he discovered the meaning of mercy. The young wrestling champion, he rang that doorbell that day. And he said, Dad, I'm sorry. And that dad wrapped his arms around him. And he brought him back in the house. He said, Son, you're forgiven. Jesus is here today. And if Jesus is talking to you, maybe you're a rebellious person. I don't mean you're doing anything bad or ugly or anything like that of this. But you've never come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You've never come to the point of your senses to say, I need a Savior. And his name is Jesus. Then today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to make that right with him and to come home and to ring that doorbell of God's heart and say, I'm ready. Maybe you're here today and you know Jesus. You've made that commitment, but maybe life has just gotten tough. Maybe life has gotten hard and it's not easy to rejoice like it used to be. And you just want to recommit yourself to God today. Man, that's awesome too. Maybe you're here today and you just have a special prayer, something you want prayer about. I'm going to be down here at the front. They're going to sing and play. Lee is in the back. If you need to make a decision, this is your time. If God is speaking to you, you be obedient as they sing and play.